The resurrection is everything to our faith. The death of Jesus was the necessary sacrifice for our sins. But the resurrection was the victory. So today we're going to look at what this key word resurrection means. But first, I'm getting so cool at these slides for you. I don't think we talk about this enough. We know that Jesus died and rose again, but we need to be reminded that he was willing. And if you go to that scripture, you'll see that it says, not my will, but thy will, Lord, or God, he said. He was willing to do it. So we need to keep that in mind as we look at the resurrection. So I just want to read 10 verses to you before we go on. Oh. Yes, before we do that. That's why my wife is here. Something I read. It was a couple weeks after the resurrection when someone approached Joseph of Arimathea, articulating the surprise at him allowing Jesus to be buried in Joseph's newly hand-hewn stone tomb. Joseph simply shrugged his shoulders and said he only needed it for the weekend. But see, now I needed Roy in there. Okay, I blew that. So let's look at Matthew 28. It says, now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning and his clothes as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him because became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. And as he said, come and see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and indeed he is going before you into Galilee, and there you will see him. Behold, I have told you. So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, and ran to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, rejoice. So they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. Just a couple things here. So the first witnesses were actually the angels. The angels were the first ones on the scene. And then the guards, and we see what they said about the guards. Wait, is this on this page? Yeah. I'm sorry. I should wear my glasses. Anyway, the guards were like dead men. They were so frightened they couldn't move. And now think about it. This had to be a pretty good-sized angel to move that stone all by himself. He looked kind of like Arnold. So for no other name, I guess the angel's name was Arnold. But so there's a series of witnesses, but tell me that when an earthquake happens, you don't know something is going on around you. And if there's a great earthquake, there had to be even more witnesses that experienced this. If nothing else, they knew something was up because of the earthquake. And in Luke 24:10, it even names another woman, Joanna, and the other women. So Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of Jesus, Joanna, who must have had a relationship with Luke because he was the only one that named her by name. And then the angels. So we see that the angels even told them to look in. He says, look in. They wanted the women to have a firsthand experience with this. They wanted them to see that the tomb was empty. So when we think about resurrecting something, we are bringing back to life. Ephesians 2:1 tells us that we were once dead in our sins. But then in Ephesians 2:4, it goes on to say, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our trespasses. And one of our favorite scriptures, Ephesians 2:8, and by grace you have been saved. So Adam and Eve lived in a perfect world with perfect bodies. So that means I was meant to have a perfect body. Something happened there. Yeah. Okay, hold on. And there was no sin. So Adam and Eve lived in a perfect world, had perfect bodies, and were living with no sin. But when they ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they sinned, and death was the consequence. Our sins lead to death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. Our sins led to death, but the gift of God, again, is eternal life through Christ Jesus. And he had to resurrect himself. Now, I know that sounds funny, because there is a scripture that says the Father resurrected him. But it's a triune God. So you can say Jesus resurrected himself because he's part of that Trinity. He needed to defeat death for us so we could be brought back and restored to the life that God intended for us. Sin separates, but Jesus resurrects. There's a word in the Greek called anastasis, and it's the word that means resurrection. Strong's Concordance says that anesthesia is a standing up. It's a resurrection, a raising up, a rising. Help's Word Study shares Christ's physical resurrection is the foundation of Christianity, which also guarantees the future resurrection of all believers. John 6:39. We can see that the resurrection was even seen in the Old Testament. Although resurrection is mostly thought to be the New Testament, the concept is intertwined throughout the entire Bible. Pastor and writer James Howell Street shares that Job himself in Job 14:14 says, if a man dies, will he live again? And again he shares in Job 19:26, which says, even after my skin is destroyed, yet from my flesh I shall see God. He goes on to explain that Job does not know how God is going to do it, but he believes in his heart that somehow God will raise him from the dead. He further brings up the point that in Psalm 91:16, that David references his belief in salvation. And that Psalm 49 and 103, he believes resurrection would come through the Redeemer. And of all people, Hosea knew what it was like to show forgiveness and reconciliation. He was called by God to marry a prostitute named Gomer, who was continuously unfaithful to him. However, he remained faithful and even pursued her. This was God's way of showing his relationship and loyalty to us as humanity. Hosea 6:2 says, "He will revive us after 2 days. He will raise us up on the third day that we may live before him." One of the most popular instances of Jesus foreshadowing is seen in the life of Abraham and Isaac in Genesis 22. God tests Abraham's faith by asking him to sacrifice his one and only son of the covenant. Abraham believed that God would make a way, but was obedient to the point to right before he would strike his son dead on the altar. Jewish tradition holds that Isaac was about 25 years old. This meant that he was willing to allow his older father to slay him as a sacrifice for the Lord, just as Jesus was willing to do the will of the Father. I can't even imagine the pain and sorrow both father and son were going through. Thankfully, God stopped Abraham and provided a ram caught by the horns to be the sacrifice instead of Isaac. The moment of rescue represents the rescue that we have because of Jesus. This scenario did not play out the same way when God the Father sacrificed Jesus the Son on behalf of our sins. God gives us a glimpse into the pain and difficulty to send his one and only Son to the cross at Calvary to slay him on our behalf. I want to just look quickly at a couple Old Testament verses about the resurrection. Isaiah 26:19 says, "Your dead will live, their corpses will rise. You who lie in the dust, awake and shout for joy, for your dew is as the dew of the dawn, and the earth will give birth to the departed spirits." Ezekiel 36:26, "Moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh." And finally, Daniel 12:2 says, "Many of those who sleep in the dust of the ground will awake, these to everlasting life, but the others to disgrace and everlasting contempt." Now we see the resurrection in the New Testament. There's a beautiful moment in John 11 when Jesus decides to raise Lazarus from the dead. He looks at Martha and says, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will live, even though he dies, and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" This is the gospel message. Jesus is the resurrection. He is the life. Even though believers in him will die, they will live eternally in heaven because of him. Now, Jesus resurrected 3 people during his ministry on earth. He raised the widow of Nain's son in Luke 7, the daughter of Jairus in Matthew 9, Mark 5, and Luke 8, and then again Lazarus in John 11. Although these individuals were given an extended life on earth, they would each still face death again. What Jesus offers through his death and resurrection is eternal relationship and security through him. Jesus was on a mission. We see his death, resurrection, and ascension in Scripture. He raised himself back to life and then ascended to heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father. Because of Jesus' resurrection, we too will be resurrected one day. Our resurrection takes place at the future return of Christ. When we die, we immediately enter the presence of the Lord. But the final resurrection has not yet happened. When it does, we will know it because Christ's return will be known by all. A few verses from the New Testament about resurrection. 1 Peter 1, 3 through 5. Praise be to God and the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. In his mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 5:15, and he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. In Romans 6:4, we were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Although resurrection literally means to rise up or stand up, to a believer, resurrection means that their eternity is sealed in Jesus. Resurrection is one of the foundational beliefs of the Christian faith. It is by the grace of God that we have been saved through faith in Jesus, and we are sealed by the Holy Spirit. This means we can live in victory today, right now, this very moment, because of the finished work of Christ. We don't have to wait to heaven. That is a bad teaching for the church. Romans 8:11 says, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living in you. So just as Jesus resurrected Lazarus from his dead state, maybe there's an area that is dead in your faith right now. Ask the Holy Spirit for help. For anything idle in your faith to be renewed, and that your life can be one of victory in Jesus. You know, I really never looked at it that way. There's things that are idle in our faith. They may not be gone, they're just not active. And we need to look for any of those things in our lives, in our faith, that needs to be renewed so that we can live this life even more victoriously. So it is by his resurrection that we can live life in victory each day. 1 Corinthians 15:17, and if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Second Corinthians 5:21, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in heaven. Nothing we can do, nothing we can say. But he's alive. Ken, could you get that back for me? Technology. My fault. Okay, thank you. So he was willing. He's risen. This is it. But there is a great exchange of what Jesus did for us. It's kind of in a summary form. He was punished that we might be forgiven. And I have a scripture verse behind each one if you need it. He was wounded that we might be healed. He was sin with our sinfulness that we may be made righteous with his righteousness. He died our death that we might receive his life. He was made a curse that we might enter into the blessing. He endured our poverty that we might share his abundance. He bore our shame that we might share his glory. He endured our rejection that we might have his acceptance with the Father. He was cut off by death that we might be joined to God eternally. And the old man was put to death in him. So the new man came alive in us. So he's alive. So it can be easy to forget these truths when we're offended or hurt by other people, or when we encounter other people's brokenness. You know, it might be someone, a friend of ours, that is broken, and we just don't understand why. But remembering what he did for us can help us to extend grace to others in our life. You know, to my knowledge, there's no excuse in the Bible for us not to extend grace. If you find it, please let me know where it's located so I can be educated. The resurrection of Jesus has given us a great and sure hope that no matter the cultural tumult and opposition to our faith we experience here on earth, he will sustain us because we are his. So are there certain people in your life that you're struggling to maintain high beliefs or high thoughts towards? For instance, a prodigal that seems to be hopeless, a boss that's hard to work with, a neighbor who's obnoxious or mean, or a relative that's unpleasant to be around. I just hope I'm not that relative. What if you viewed them the same way Jesus views you? Forgiven, healed, and righteous. And if they're believers, they have access to the same promises of the Father. And if they're pre-Christians, let us boldly pray that they would receive the free gift of salvation today. I know everybody here, so I don't need to ask if you've received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. But Father, we pray, we recognize that we all needed a Savior. We all needed you, Jesus, to take our sins. We believe you rose from the dead. We believe you died for us, you rose from the dead, and you ascended to heaven to the right side of the Father. So we receive the gift of salvation freely in our lives. And we thank you for that. Help us to live each day from this point on to bring glory and honor to your name. My last scripture today is Romans 15:13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. I want to wish you again a great resurrection day. And we really appreciate you coming out today. There's always something else you could be doing, but we thank you and we pray to God for you all the time. So, Father, we thank you for this day. Father, I pray that wherever we go today, whether it's with family or friends, or if it's by ourselves, we just pray, Lord God, that you would make yourself even more real to us as we honor you today, as we remember you today from your resurrection, bringing us victory into each one of our lives through the life, death, and resurrection of your Son, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We praise you. So Father, we pray that we can go forward and show the love of the Father, that we can show the grace of Jesus, and that we can live and show the power of the Holy Spirit living in each one of our lives. Let us be those witnesses. Just as the early witnesses saw your empty grave, we see you now at the right hand of the Father. We just thank you and we praise you now. In Jesus' name, amen.